Session number 26985, Mary Williams, Reel 2.
Yes, I've said in there that was the most frightening night of my life, I think. It was a moonlight night. We lived at Claygate then. And I was laying in bed, minding my own business. And I heard this strange noise. I thought, well, it's in the plane. And then I thought it was a tractor or something outside. And then it went brr, 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 brr. And I just couldn't understand what it was. Until I looked out the window and saw this light. And saw this thing. And I thought, oh my goodness, what have we got now? And a few moments later it stopped. And there was a bang. It must have been about Surbiton, I suppose. It's gone as far as Surbiton. And that was a frightening night because you didn't know what it was, you know. I mean, anything's frightening until you know what it is, isn't it? So, yes, yeah, so I was frightened of those. And then, of course, quite a few bombs came down, well, enough to rattle the plaster, and but touch wood, we didn't have any great damage, because my father, we were living on the station at Claygate then, and I had my 21st birthday then, and a friend of mine came to stay who lived right down in the country. She'd never heard bombers or anything before. And there was a terrible raid that night, and we slept on the dining room table. So I'm never coming to see you again. And then we had one night we had a chimney fire after the blackout. And of course we had to send for the fire brigade. So what did they do but get a stirrup pump up on the roof? Whoosh, everything came down in the dining room. But the fire went out, so.
How did you manage for things like rations and coupons in the war?
Not too badly. We seemed to get on quite well. The lady where we were in Diggs and Dorking, she managed to give us some nice food and looked after us well. And my mother and father, they always seemed to be all right. I think there was a bit of bartering going on. Like there was everywhere else.
Did it give people...
Of course, we were married during the war. And
oh, yes, I must ask you about... Because you had a wartime wedding.
Yes.
Well, perhaps you could tell me about that.
Well, if we go back to the railway part of it, because of being where I was at Woking and doing the work that I was, or the men doing the work and me copying it for them, my husband, or my fiancé as he was then, had been abroad for 3 years in the Middle East, and they had what was called LEAP. I think it was called LEAP. Certain ones who'd been away a long time put their names in the hat, and if they were lucky, they came home on leave. And he was lucky. And he was able to, of course, all the letters they sent were censored, and all the letters I sent were censored. But he was able to let me know somehow. I think they were allowed, probably, you know, when they do. So he said he would be coming home, he was hoping to come home and should we get married when he was home, but it was only for a month and he was going back again. So I thought, well, I don't know what to do with it. Don't like making your own wedding arrangements, do you? But anyway, we sort of got half wedding arrangements done because we had a month anyway. So, and my husband came from Mid Wales, Newtown, and I managed to find out when he was coming back, some of my gentlemen friends on the they did a bit of digging for me, and they were able to tell me when he was coming back. And he came back to where did he come back to? Liverpool, I think it was. And I met him on the station when he came back from abroad. I couldn't believe it.
But was that a privilege for you working on the railway to be able to do that?
Pardon?
Was it a privilege for you to be able to go to Liverpool?
I shouldn't really have known. It was only because of the work I'd done. I mean, I didn't find out, but the men found out for me, you know. And so he came back on the end of May, and we got married in the April. And
were you able to have quite a nice wedding?
Oh yes, all the girls that I worked with, they all saved coupons for me. I had a white wedding and three bridesmaids. Harding and Hobbs. Have you ever heard of Harding and Hobbs at Clapham Junction? Yeah, that's where we got the dresses from. We had enough coupons for three bridesmaids and my dress. And we married at Claygate Church. And we had a reception at the local hotel. And that was sumptuous. And we never did ask where all the food came from. We just enjoyed it. And then, of course, we went to one of the girls that I worked with. She said, oh, my uncle, I think it was, or somebody, they've got a big hotel in Buxton in Derbyshire. What about going there for your honeymoon? So that's where we went. We went to Buxton, and it is a big hotel too. And then we came home, and of course he went back abroad again.
Where was he stationed?
Well, he was with the Sudan Defence Force for a long time, and then he was stationed just outside Tripoli. And then, of course, he eventually came home.
So this would have been when you were married, just before the end of the war, would it? 1948?
Yes, he went back abroad on VE Day.
Did you have to leave the railway when war ended, when you were married? Could you stay on in your job?
Yes, I could. Yeah, I stayed on for a little while. And then, of course, he was in the army before the war. So we went, and of course, he was Royal Signals. Well, in those days, their headquarters was Catterick Camp in Yorkshire. And so we got a quarter house in Catterick, and I went up there. And my daughter was born up there.
What do you remember of VE Day? I mean, it must have been rather mixed for you with your husband having to go away. Were there any celebrations where you were?
Oh, yeah, we had a lovely street party in Claygate. Yeah, great party. Yes, because he'd gone a couple of days beforehand, because he had to make his way up. Where did they go from? Scotland, I think. Greenock or somewhere. And so he'd already gone by then, so I knuckled down to waiting for him to come back again.
Do you think, you know, your war work, were you given extra responsibility because of the war, do you think, as young women in the typing pool? You know, did you have extra work to do and tasks
I think it was pretty... No, it was the same as we'd done before, but obviously we had to keep quiet about it. I mean, previously, it didn't matter who you told what, but I mean, then, of course, you had to be careful who you spoke to and what you said.
What did you think when nationalisation came to the railways?
I was disgusted. And so was my father. He'd done 50 years on the railway, and he was given a month to vacate his house. And in those days, they didn't earn fabulous amounts of money to buy houses elsewhere.
So I suppose railway people lived in railway houses, did they?
Well, he was station master, so he lived on the station, you see. And yeah,
no provision was made for that.
No, gave him a month. So. Worst thing that ever happened, really, I think, nationalisation. When these railways were divided up, I mean, now they're divided, but they're all different, all bits and pieces, aren't they? But when they were in their sections, it all worked wonderfully. Everybody was proud of their job, porters, everybody, but so.
Yes, the privatisation today is very much more fragmented, it seems.
Yeah, that's the trouble, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
We came up on a nice train today. That was.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Mary, for coming along today and giving up some of your precious time for this interview. It's very good of you. Thank you.
Well, I hope it's made sense.
Thank you.